One, two, three.
Welcome to Three Song Stories. This is the podcast that uses songs to extract biography from our guests. We tap into the power of music has to connect us to times and places and people and emotions from our lives, and we listen to some great music along the way with them. My guest this episode is Lydia Black. I would say she's a self-described nonprofit junkie, because that's what her biography says. But in the interest of full disclosure, I know her well enough to write her bio without notes. As a matter of fact, for quite a few years, part of my job was to help her write her bios. Lydia Black is the executive director of the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers, where I once worked. She's one of the most dedicated people I know when it comes to working to make the world around her better, and one of the most motivating people I know when it comes to getting others to help with that cause. She lives in Fort Myers with her far better half, Chris, and their super cool daughter, Emerson, who's a sixth grader at Paul Lawrence Dunbar Middle School, and who is also my daughter's best friend. Hey there, Lydia. How's it going?
Hello, Mike and Irie.
It's good to see you.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Okay. And to be with you, of course.
Okay, let's talk some music and some memories. So what is the first musical memory that you can think of as a kid? Like, if you think back to your childhood, what pops up first as far as music around you?
Oh, my grandmother Lou. Mary Lou Trousdeau is my grandmother in Rhode Island, and she's constantly humming in the kitchen while she cooked. My mom similarly did the same thing. So I think as a kid, I just heard it, not songs, but humming or choruses, and mostly gospel or old soul church music, and with my mom from Mr. Bojangles onward. So
was there a lot of music being played around the house, like on vinyl or off the radio?
So at my mom's house, my parents were divorced, and so I spent half the time at my mom and half the time at my dad's. And my dad was kind of the Beach Boys guy. The radio was on the Beach Boys. We were on the beach. We were windsurfing. And I just remember Beach Boys cassette tapes wearing out in his car. And my mom was much more of a dancer, live music. Her second husband and her boyfriends always went to bars and had music jams at our house. And so I kind of had two very different introductions to music at an age, from my grandmother singing the church music to my dad and his classic Beach Boys, and to my mom to kind of more jam band eclectic music. So.
Where was this geographically when you were a kid?
I grew up predominantly in New England. My dad's a Brazilian, so we had a lot of Brazilian music on. But predominantly what I remember the most is my time in New England as a kid.
Can you remember the first time that music moved you in some way?
Oh, I can remember different stages of life where music made me cry, or I felt like crying and I turned on the music and I cried, or giggling with friends at new music, or going to concerts with friends in high school and college. But I don't remember maybe the first time. I know that, you know, my dad's Brazilian, my mom's American, so we go back and forth between Brazil and the United States. And I remember when I was probably like 5 years old, I learned like my full Portuguese songs of this cat that used to walk on a fence and the woman hit the cat with a broom. But I had no idea what the song meant. And that Achi Deu Pan Gato, the song, is still in my head today, which was not on my list of three that I could submit. But it's probably one of the earliest moments of like feeling accomplished and connecting to another culture that I could both sing and talk and, you know, relate to my cousins and my aunts and uncles and
like
my grandmother. Way into the culture. You start singing and dancing and you know children's rhymes and children's songs.
Do you remember the first music that you owned that was your music, given to you as a gift or, you know, purchased as a teen or something like that?
I'm sure I had more than these, but I think the mixtapes in like junior high school.
Were you a mixtape maker or a mixtape recipient?
I think
I've learned from these shows that there's two camps generally.
I was mostly a recipient, and I will say that people in my life have introduced me to more music than I made the effort to introduce myself, right? So the people in my life really somewhat dictate the music that's around me, because I was not one of those folks who, well, I love music, and here I am, the executive director of the Alliance for the Arts. As a kid, it wasn't what inspired me. I played a little piano. I played a little clarinet. I started with the recorder. But I think that the music around me is dictated by those people around me and watching their emotions and reading them rather than myself. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever try to woo you with a mixtape?
Oh, yes. I think I have one in this random box I have up in my shelf that I just can't get rid of. And it was in like ninth grade, and I was the only girl on an all-boys soccer team, and they never talked to me. Like, I was the one that could be on the field, and I was fast enough, I could play enough, and this one boy had the courage to, like, come up with me and slide a mixtape into my soccer bag, and I'll never forget it, and I don't think I'll ever be able to get rid of it either.
Do you remember any of the songs that are on it? I'd say Word, but if it's still there.
I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that. Like, I can't think of it. It was more the receiving and that weird period of time that we're all in middle school, high school, trying to figure out who we are. And I just remember how cool that kid was to talk to the one weird girl who played with all the boys.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite band? It sounds like maybe you didn't really have a favorite band based on what you've said.
I didn't. I can tell you, like, periods of my life. I mean, my first concert was the Bangles.
Oh, wow.
My mom brought me and three of my friends, the Bangles, in like sixth grade, and I remember rocking out to Walk Like an Egyptian.
It was a good show.
I loved it. It was the first time I held up a lighter with a flame. You know, it's pretty cool for me. But no favorite bands, no favorite music, no favorite one performer, just a connection to loving what an eclectic mix of what other people like and the inspiration that people who are musicians who can think of scales and who can think of words that inspire people or make people dance, I think, is what intrigues me the most.
Okay, so I put you on the spot. I made you pick three songs.
Which I hated.
Which you hated. You were the only guest, by the way, that pushed back and were like, I've got to do four. I won't do it if it's not three or if it's four.
Are you shocked by that?
No, not at all. I remember driving down the street with Gwen going, oh, look, Lydia answered exactly like I said she would. But you've got it narrowed down to three.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the first of your three that we're going to hear today? Do I need to help you?
I think you might need to help me. I think we did Return to Pooh Corner. Is that
yeah,
the first
you,
one?
I think you characterized it in email as that Pooh song. It may have been Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
So this is Return to Pooh Corner. It is by Kenny Loggins. And it is Lydia Black's first song on this episode of Three Song Stories.
Robin and I walked along under branches lit up by the moon, posing our questions to our Dior as our days disappear all too soon. But I've wandered much further today than I should, and I can't seem to find my way back to the wood. So help me if you can. I've gotta get back to the house, simple corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky, back to the days of Christopher Robin. Doesn't know what to do. Got a honey jar stuck on his nose. He came to me asking help and advice. From here no one knows where he goes. So I sent him to ask of the owl if he's there, how to loosen a jar from the nose of a bear. Help me if you can. The house, who called by one. You'd be surprised. There's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive. Chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin and who. To explain how a few precious things seem to follow throughout all our lives. After all said and done, I was watching my son sleeping there with my bear by his side. So I tucked him in, I kissed him, and as I was gone, swear that old bear whispered, boy, welcome home. Believe me if you can, I've finally come back to the house in the corner by one. And what do you know, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive. Chase all the clouds from the sky.
Chase the clouds
away. To the days of Christopher Robin.
To the days
of Christopher Robin.
So what's going through your head when you're listening to that? That's so touching. Man, that's Pooh and Kenny Loggins.
So not until you asked me did I actually know Kenny Loggins sung this song, right? Because I only know this song in the voice of my mom and my siblings and my daughter and my husband, right? Like, and I actually, like, shockingly, this hearing it like this is kind of – I mean, it's a touch to my childhood. It's the song that my mom sang to me when I was anxious or scared of the dark or when something bad happened or when I just needed to, like, lay in bed with my mom. And I remember her laying in bed with my brothers, and I remember when she was going to school, I'd lay in my bed with my brothers, and this was the go-to song. I have no idea why. Like, zero idea. I mean, I remember we had a big Winnie the Pooh book, and but we weren't like big Winnie the Pooh fans or anything. It was just something that came into our childhood and you know, I've passed along. I mean, my husband sings this song now to my daughter. And I think it gives me all sorts of feely thoughts.
Feely thoughts.
Because they're just – it's truly, for me, just the thing that kind of makes me feel better. It might make me cry a little bit, but it makes me feel better after that good cry. And I'm – you know, I'm 40 years old and I listen to that song and I just remember childhood and I see it in my daughter and it's just one of those, I love those things that you pass along. And it's something I sing to her. I mean, she's 12. And sometimes I'll still, if I'm laying in bed with her, and she'll break out with me. And we have all different versions. And what I realize is none of us really know how to end this song. And I don't think Kenny Loggins did either.
Well, you know, what's funny is that the version that we played actually had at the end of it, it kind of ended. And then there's like talking and it's like it goes back to like from the movie probably. I don't know. You know, it's interesting because I hadn't heard that song.
Who would? I mean, it's such
I mean, as soon as we started playing it, I'm like, I remember that from being a kid. Absolutely. I mean, there's something about that poo that goes deep, you know, that whole mythos. But what's interesting is it made me think, because the whole part about the kid and the doll, when I started like,
argh. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, what's that song going to be like in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? You know, it's like that's music and that's memories and that's how it all ties together.
Yeah. And I think about, you know, you asked me, what were you thinking when you were hearing the song? Well, first, at first it kind of made me smile, that kind of made me get weepy, and then I wanted to sing it my own way. And then it was funny because I was listening and I was like,
and you were singing, what? Just for the listeners at home, she was singing.
Fortunately, the mic wasn't on. But like, why would you need to count all the bees in the hive? Why would you need to?
Executive director in you.
But I like, it's just a, for me, every time that song is sung, it's, there's like a tender moment, or, you know, I so cherish the time with my daughter of just being kind of in that quiet space with no noise and just our voices. And I love hearing my husband sing it to my daughter. And I'm grateful for my mom for, she's singing lots of children's songs. We know what, we have a whole rap sheet of them, but that one, it's long and there's lots of words. And it was probably one of the first ones that Emerson knew the whole to. So I think it's that connection with my mom, a connection with my daughter, and that passing along is why that one has kind of made it into the top three.
So one of the questions I've been asking our guests is which song was the one that almost made it to the list but you had to cut for whatever reason. But I know from you because you tried to get four out of me. So what is the fourth song?
Well, The Girl from Ipanema means a lot to me for a lot of different reasons, and a lot because of it's connecting the Brazilian portion of my life and my dad and my family. And so I kind of felt like that one's my dad and this one's my mom.
Right, right.
And then the others are different. So that's right, Dad. I picked my mom.
What is music that has entered your life most recently? Do you have anything? As Emerson, you know, introduced you to some new bands? I know Chris hasn't because he just listened to
the same things over and over again. I'm trying to think of She actually loves her dad's music. It's her music, too. There's a bond between them with the Grateful Dead and Fish and some of those jam bands, and they really get into that, and so that's always on in the house. But Emerson's introduced a new cycle of pop music and musical theater. How many times have you heard the Strawberry Freckleface songs in your home?
Yeah, absolutely.
But Dear Evan Hansen is a big hit with my daughter. The Hamilton songs. I really love to see what musical theater is done in breaking through and in telling the history of our country in talking to kids about issues that really matter. So, you know, Emerson's really into the musical theater now, and I can't pick one of her favorite because she sings them all.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to your second song, and it posed a dilemma for us, and that is it's Harry Hood by Fish, which is a song they don't have – they've never put on a studio album. And for those of you who know Fish, we got a short version. It's only 18 minutes. That is not hyperbole.
Nope.
Now, the model of this show is that we're going to sit here and listen to the whole song.
No.
But you
please
have to pick
don't
our,
make.
But you have to pick our daughters.
We can't listen to the whole
true story.
18 minutes.
So today in studio, we're going to listen to a truncated version of this song.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. But in the streaming version of Three Song Stories, which listeners can find on our website, threesongstories.org, and on our app, they will be able to listen to this in its glorious entirety if they'd like. But this is would you like to tell the story before? Shall we listen
no,
to it?
No, let's okay. listen. Let's listen.
Okay. This is Harry Hood by Fish, the jam band. You are listening to Three Song Stories, Biography Through Music. We'll be right back. That was all 18 glorious minutes of Harry Hood by Phish. Oh, wasn't that great?
Oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry.
Let me just tell you, my husband is the biggest Phish fan in the world. Well, he might not be the biggest, but he's up there with the best of them. And when we first – we've been married 17 years this year. And so we've known each other for over 20 years. And our first few dates were him taking me to these random – first started small, these small little bars where he would take all of his tape gear, his like little
– taper.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, he goes plug deeper in the Phish lore than I thought.
Like, so he would be like, you want to come with me? I'd be like, sure. And then we'd walk in and he'd be like, okay, see you later. I'm going to go with all my nerdy buds
who are going to stick
these so that they can, you know, get the music firsthand.
Who was this Phish?
This was – nope. It started – there was Keller Williams.
Yeah.
Keller Williams. He's great. The Love Handle song is a good one. And a bunch of smaller bands and kind of introduced me to this kind of jam band scene and then sprung it on me, like, let's go see Phish. And I was like –
and where were you guys at the time?
I think the first time I saw Phish was in – oh, goodness gracious,
Well, where were you
Wisconsin.
Living, though, when you met Chris?
I was living in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So all through Philadelphia, we'd drive to Baltimore, we'd drive to D.C., we'd go up to New York. I mean, he was in it to win it. I mean, he wanted his – I still have boxes of these things that we never listened to, right?
He needs to digitize them and put them on the internet, man. I know somebody who has a radio station that can do it.
You guys play a lot of Phish in the interludes on NPR, both locally and nationally. We hear them come up. but so we were in Philly. We did that. We moved up to Wisconsin. I went to go see – I said to him, you know, I'm not a big bar fan. I'm not a big smoke bar fan. I like to be outside. So we went to every outdoor Phish show, whether it was in Maine, whether it was in Vermont, whether it was in Wisconsin, and we slept with – lots of people in tents on airstrips and old farms and fields. And so this song, I could have picked a couple of them. But so the song Phish means something to me in my life. I mean, I've listened to them for over 20 years and I didn't know who they were before I met my husband, Chris. Like, would have never crossed my world. Although my mom did listen to a little bit of Grateful Dead. So she knew who they were and knew more about it than I did.
Did she like go, oh, Chris, he likes Phish.
No. There was some worry there. Like, but my husband's weird. Like, he's this kind of preppy guy. I mean, when I met him, he was like a –
He wears pink shirts.
He used to – you know, he was a classicist graduate from University of Wisconsin in Madison, came, was studying at UPenn, Latin and Greek, taught Latin and Greek to high school students. And then, you know, by day, he's this, like, you know, introvert, quiet, stays to the edge of the room, super smart, super handsome in my opinion. But – and he – then he goes to these Phish shows and he's like, he breaks out. He's dancing. He's letting loose. He's talking to everyone. And I'm like, who is this man? Like, it's role reversal when we go to these Phish shows. I'm like in a corner being like, what are all these people doing? And he's out there on the rail dancing. And this song is particularly dear to my heart because we were in Mexico. I mean, this is how far we traveled to see Phish. We went to Mexico 2 years ago. And brought my daughter to her first 3-day show. Like, she and Chris will go to Jacksonville when they come into Florida.
So this wasn't her first Phish show.
This is her first three-day show. Phish show outside. And we were on some beach in Mexico. And it was the third night. And, you know, for me, 3 nights of Phish is a long time to deal with jam band music where I don't know when one song ends, one starts. But the atmosphere is great. The people are great. And we took Emerson back and there were big glow balls and hammocks and we were listening to the music and we were looking at the moon and all of a sudden the intro to Harry Hood comes on. And my daughter says, we got to find Daddy! And so she starts running and then I see Chris from the other end of like the fairgrounds running like he's saying the same thing. I gotta find Emerson. And they get there right as the band starts singing, Harry! And then Emerson and Chris go into this Harry Hood moment and they run up to the front and they start dancing. And I thought, this is what music does, right? It connects people and it makes you move. And here we are and there's thousands of people around us and they're all singing and having fun. And I just, that moment of both Emerson recognizing exactly what song it was and exactly that her dad was going to want to be with her during the song was just truly, you know, one of those things that would be frozen in my mind.
I can only imagine it being frozen in Chris's mind, too. It seems like, you know, I mean, talk about peak dad. It's like, oh, my God, my 9-year-old daughter from across the field wants to come sing Harry with me.
I mean, it was truly magical. And, you know, it's one of those songs that he always hopes they play. You know, Fluffhead, Wilson. I hate the Birds of a Feather Flock Together song. I don't even know the name of it, but it's just one of those songs that makes me smile every time I hear it. I love the musical interlude after the voices, which are infrequent in the Fish songs. Like, I like music and I like to know what things mean.
Right.
And these songs sometimes are hard to figure out what they mean. You just feel them, right?
Yeah.
You feel them.
Oh, you feel them. That's absolutely the case. Do you guys listen to Fish around the house, or is that kind of a road trip kind of thing?
Oh, we do listen to Fish around the house.
You got like, Alexa, play Fish.
No, Google. Hey, Google. Hey, Google. Play Fish on Pandora. Great. Actually, you know, Chris has gotten into playing the guitar quite a bit.
Oh, is he picking up any Fish stuff?
He hasn't gotten there yet, but I know his guitar teacher, and I'm sure they're gonna get there. But so he's playing a lot of he's taking his typical Fish time and fiddling on the guitar. He's gone up from, you know, the piano and Pop Goes the Weasel into some actually decent. He's improving. I'm actually pretty proud of him.
Well, he'll have to show me one of these days. Okay, it's time to move on to your third and final song. So what do you got?
This Little Light of Mine.
And you asked us to get the gospel version. Mm-hmm. Can you explain why? Or would you like to wait till after to tell your story? Which would you prefer?
Let's listen to it.
All right. This is This Little Light of Mine. It's Lydia Black's last song on this episode of Three Song Stories.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light. Let it
I love that song, gospel version or not. But I just think that if every day we woke up to that song and we were reminded that we can use our power for good or we could use our power for evil, and that all of us have a light inside of us, that we'd all be better people. And for me, I think if I had like something to wish for myself, that I just, whomever I'm with, wherever I am, that I try to be the shining light in that moment. Not the middle of the room or the attention, but special attention to details, to smile to people, to give people a hug, to, you know, be reminded that we all have, again, the power for the good or the evil. And this song just means so much. I think of Martin Luther King, and he was taking it one day at a time, one step at a time, and the emphasis on social justice and using that power and using that light to change communities and integrate communities and to be good people, and that we're all born with that goodness and that light, and how as we a community can make sure that we continue to pass that along to our children and to our friends and to everyone we meet. I like that song a lot.
Can you remember, like, how, you know, hearing it as a kid, other versions? I mean, does it stick with you? Are you mindful of it as you navigate through your days and weeks and months and years?
I'm mindful of it in multiple ways. I'm mindful of it daily in that I really think about that. Like, so when I get frustrated or I'm irritated, I just think, like when I'm challenged and I feel defeated and I've made a big mistake or I failed miserably, you know, I kind of like keep on going. That song's something that helps keep me going. But, you know, I like the gospel version because I, you know, growing up, I went to a variety of different churches, and I really liked the African-American, the predominantly black churches, because they sung with such joy. And so I remember hearing that sung in more of a gospel tone rather than just kind of a social justice song. And I was attracted. It makes me cry. It makes me feel, right? It gives me the same feeling that Return to Pooh Corner does in a different way. I sung that song as we were protesting injustices in Philadelphia with a bunch of really cool people trying to transform lives in the city of Fort Myers, and got arrested in Lands for protesting a sidewalk ordinance, and we sung that song, and sung that song with in solidarity with our friends who had much less than we did and either chose to live on the streets or had mental illness or, you know, were homeless. And I remember singing that song, sitting on the streets in Philly with a bunch of people trying to change the world one day at a time, one person at a time.
Can you remember the last time you sang it with a group of people?
I actually sang it with a group of people at the Women's March in Naples, which was, you know, not so long ago. I've hummed it with my daughter. But I think the last time with a big group of people was celebrating women and how far we've come and how much farther we can go.
You ever hear Phish cover it?
You know what? I'm certain we could probably Google it. It might come up. But, you know, I think it's funny. It's interesting the passion that comes out of my husband and listen to those songs. For him, he would say it's freeing, and I'm pretty free and open and, like, normal, and he's not. And so that gets him in those worlds. And I think for me, like, this little light of mine really helps and sometimes focus me and remind me that, you know, it can be one person. You can use your light. You keep going, and I don't know. It's just inspiring. It's inspiring to me. And it's inspiring to me that people have used it over history to make points for the good.
I think that songs can sort of pick up energy because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
The longer they've gone down that trail, the more when you hear it, you feel it.
Yeah. I mean, the social justice component of that, the transforming lives and changing communities and building communities and bringing people together through your little light, right? Like, that just resonates with me because, like, I think, Mike, you have this light, and what you use for the radio and bring people together for me is, you know, how do I provide people with opportunities, or how do I connect people, or how do you do that in life and make it good for everyone? And I don't know. So it's just a little something. that I relate to.
Well, that's pretty
fish
much.
Poo, endless fish poo, light
endless little light. This little light of fish poo.
Oh, gosh.
Any final thoughts, Lydia?
No, I'm just glad to be your friend. I'm glad to be part of your life, and I'm glad you picked me to do this project, which was really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard for me to decide what to do. So.
Well, I'm glad you did it. I want to thank my guest, Lydia Black, Executive Director at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. The Little Tornado is wife to Chris and mother to Emerson and one of my best friends. Lydia, thanks for doing this. It's been the blast I knew it would be. Three Song Stories is made in the studios of WGCU Public Radio in Fort Myers. Richard Chin Kui is the show's producer, director, and co-creator. Tara Callaghan and Anna Bejarano produce our online content. Our executive producer is Chris Duffis. Three Song Stories theme music was created by Dave Cowan and Stick Martin at Monkey House Studio in St. Pete. For my parting tune this week, I'm only going back a few years to a moment early on a fall morning at the Alliance. We were setting up for our fall festival called Fall for the Arts. I was on our outdoor stage setting up the sound system as the artists, arts organizations, and vendors were setting up their booths. I chose the first song to play that morning for my new coworker, an old friend named Brandy Kouse, who had just started working at the Alliance as the new education director. I knew she was a huge Tom Petty fan, so I wanted to show her some love that morning. This is one of my favorite songs of his, and he was one of my favorite musicians. It takes me back to more than one place, but today it takes me back to my life at the Alliance. This is Wildflowers by Tom Petty. I'm Mike Canary. Keep listening.
Next time on Three Song Stories.
Steve Hadweed.
and I smoked. And that was a bad decision